would give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. If you're happy and you don't know it yet, go ahead and give him praise anyway. Hallelujah. Stand with me all over this house. We get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. It's so good to see you in God's house today. There's no place I'd rather be. Right here. The saints of God. Giving him the praise that he deserves. I love you today. Appreciate you. Appreciate everything that everyone in this church does. What a blessed people we are. Surely the Lord has breathed on us today. Surely we've stood in his presence. Our praise has catapulted us into the presence of the Almighty. We have felt his embrace in this place today. Joshua, the fourth chapter. If you meet me there, Joshua, the fourth chapter, I want to give you what the Lord's placed on my heart today. I'll be reading verse 1 through 7. Joshua 4, 1 through 7. Amen. If you're there, shout out yes. Amen. If you don't have your Bibles, if you need a Bible, see us. We'll make sure you have one. If you don't have your Bible with you today, the text is up on the screens beside me for your convenience. We want everyone to take part in the reading of God's word. Joshua, the fourth chapter and the first verse, the word of the Lord says, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean." That word clean right there means completely. They were completely passed over Jordan. That the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, "Take you 12 men out of the people, one out of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. 12 stones, a stone for every man. And ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." The fifth verse says, "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God, into the midst of the Jordan River, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the times to come, saying, What mean ye thee by these stones? What do these stones mean? Then ye shall answer your children and say that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord." My God. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Forever. The old landmarks that are left by our godly fathers who came before us will help guide us down a pathway of truth. They'll help guide us down a pathway of truth. The word that I want to speak to you today is this: memorials matter. Memorials matter. Thank you for standing so long today. Before you're seated, can we just all over this house give the Lord some corporate praise? Clap your hands unto the Lord, open your mouths and shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever you're feeling in your spirit today, Lord, you brought me a mighty long way. way. Lord, thank you for letting the redeemed of the Lord have the say. So come on, let's collectively magnify the Lord all over this house today. He's worthy of our praise today. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise today. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak to you today on this topic. Memorials matter. Memorials matter. Turn to your neighbor and say, memorials matter. Don't say that too fast. You get a little tongue-tied. Memorials matter. The Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. draws approximately 3 million visitors a year. It's one of the most popular monuments or memorials in the United States today. Many of the people that go there have names of family members or friends engraved among the 36,000 names that are carved in that wall. Maybe some of you have seen it. 36,000 lives given. Some leave flowers. Some leave stuffed animals. Some have a moment of silence. Some just run their fingers across the wall once they find the name of their loved one, just to somehow, in some way, feel like they're just a little closer to them. All of them are attempting to honor that person whose sacrifice was so great. Can I tell you today, memorials are a powerful tool to celebrate new beginnings. Memorials are a powerful tool to celebrate victories won, achievements made, mercy that has been shown. Certain events in our lives stand far above others. They have much more meaning than others. Certain events create deep appreciation more than others do. And the Lord understands today that we need memorials in our lives to remind us of these moments. Brother Mike was talking about, I thought he was going to get all over my message a while ago. He's talking about, Lord, we need you to remind us. Sometimes we just got to push through into our praise. Sometimes we got to remind ourselves where God brought us from. See, it's a part of your flesh to forget. It's a part of your flesh to let it go. But God wants us to remember where he's brought us from and what he's done for us. So we have memorials in our lives that we set up to remind us of these things. God understands. The Lord understands that we need memorials to remind us of these moments. We long to capture the significance of these moments. We give certificates when people receive the Holy Ghost. We give certificates when people are baptized in Jesus' name. We give certificates when your children graduate from one class to the next. When you bring your children up here and they're dedicated to the Lord, we give you a little statue of mom and dad praying over that baby to remind you that the Lord gave you that child, and it's your responsibility to continually battle on behalf of that child the forces of darkness that seek to destroy it. It's a reminder. It's a memorial. Amen. That we give you so you can take it home and you can set it up on the mantle. And every time you see it, you say, I remember my pastor charging me that it's my job to raise this child in truth. How we charge you. We give you that memorial to remind you that it's not just a privilege, but it's your responsibility to train up a child in the way that it should go. We give out coins and celebrate recovery when you've been 24 hours clean or 1 week clean or 6 months clean. Or this week we had a man 7 years clean, and we give him a coin for 7 years celebrating. And every time he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out that coin, he's going to say, God, you set me free. Why? Because of a memorial. Memorials matter today. They matter. We must have these things in our life that remind us of the goodness of God. That's why they carry those things around in their pockets, reminding them of the goodness of God. Why? Because memorials matter today, church. Memorials remind us that the Lord has been good to us. I got a little heart. It's one of those little blood pressure things you squeeze, you know, when you're getting a little worked up. Anybody got one of those? It's a little red heart. If any of you guys ever been in the heart hospital, they probably give you a little red heart. I got a little red heart that I keep on my desk at work. And every single time I look at that little red heart, Joe, it reminds me of the day that my mother had a heart attack sitting in the house of God. It reminds me that she should have never even been a part of this church. She should have died that day. Oh, but God. But God. But God. She shouldn't have been here to be treasurer. She shouldn't have been here to be mother. She shouldn't have been here to pray with the lost. She shouldn't have been here, but God had mercy. And I got a memorial on my desk that reminds me every time I look over there, I say, Lord, thank you for sparing my mother and allowing her to be a part of this great move of God today. I got a memorial sitting there on my desk that every single time I look at it, it reminds me, God spared my mother and allowed her to be a part of this church. I got a memorial at home on my dresser. I got a little bell that came off of my motorcycle that reminds me every time I see it. My wife shouldn't be a part of this church. She should have died on the way to that hospital. That helicopter, they done called out that helicopter. She shouldn't even be a part of this church. But God, who's rich in mercy. But God knew I needed to help me. I knew somebody to pray with me. God knew I needed somebody for me to lean on. God knew I needed somebody to talk to. God knew I needed somebody to walk beside me. So he showed up in the midst of that motorcycle wreck. And he had mercy because God is good today. And every time I look at that bell, I say, God, you're so merciful today. Thank you for this memorial to remind me that you're good to me today. I got a little piece of a window blind at home on my dresser that reminds me that my daughter should have died that night when that blind was wrapped around her neck while me and my wife were sleeping. But for some reason we woke up. She wasn't even making a sound. But for some reason, we woke up, Brother Jason, and seen that cord all wrapped around her neck, and she couldn't breathe. And I cut a piece of that blind off, Sister Melissa, and I keep it at home on my dresser as a reminder, as a memorial that says my daughter shouldn't be here today, but God, he's rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy today. And he spared my little girl so she could be a part of the kingdom of God today. I got a ruler in there on my desk. I was at a conference several years ago. Man was preaching. They passed out rulers. Some of you probably got the same ruler. I kept that ruler. I made a little thing on my desk. And on the front of it, while he was preaching, he had everyone break that ruler. He said, this ruler's a waste of time because you can't measure the miracle that God has in store for you. I got a ruler to remind me. Every time I look at it, I think about that sermon. And I say, Lord, your blessings are too big for me to measure in my life. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for those that love him. You cannot measure. You can't measure what God has in store for you today. It's too big. It's too big. It's too great. So I got a ruler to remind me. remind me that I can't even measure the miracles that God has in store for me. They're too big for me to measure today. I got a Bible at home. Sits on my desk in my office. Belongs to one of the greatest men that God ever put in my life, my grandfather. Brother Tom, every time I look at that Bible, I remember those 5 o'clock mornings going to his house and seeing him study the Word of God. I remember the many times that he preached the Word of God to me. I remember the many times that he spoke into my life. That Bible is a memorial of the fathers that went on before me that placed landmarks in my life. It's a memorial to remind me just how good God has been to me. I don't overemphasize them. I don't idolize them. I don't pray with them in my hand. They are just there, Brother Joe, simply as a reminder to let me know. Look, come on, I don't worship them. They're not idols in my life. They're just there to remind me God's been good to me. God's been good to me. And the Lord told Joshua, he said, you set up these stones on the other side of the river Jordan, and you let your children know in the years to come that God brought you across this river. God brought you across this river. We don't overemphasize them. We don't idolize them. We don't worship them. They are there to remind us of the good things of God in our lives. Why? Because memorials matter. It's our nature, probably my nature more than most of yours, to forget. Somebody told me one time, you need a memory chip for your brain. I probably would agree with that. But because I don't have a memory chip for my brain, I place memorials to remind me, Sister Lucinda, of the good things of God in my life, how good God has been to me. Crossing the Jordan River was something that the people of God had anticipated for a mighty long time. The trip from Egypt to Canaan was an epic journey. It was one that took them from a place of bondage and slavery to a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was quite the transition. It was kind of like us coming out of sin into grace. Huh? And it was an epic journey. After 430 years of bondage, their hopes and their dreams had been crushed and shattered. Their hope had been gradually stolen from them day by day by hard taskmasters who beat them to work harder. But thank God he had a messenger that he lifted from the backside of a desert, and he caused him to stand strong in the courtroom of a tyrant. Even though he wasn't plain of speech, even though he had a speech impediment, even though he didn't feel he was educated enough, even though he didn't know what he was going to do, he was a willing vessel. And the Lord took Moses from the backside of a desert, and he calls him to stand strong in the face of Pharaoh. And he said, you go in there and you just look him square in the eye and you tell him, God said, let my people go. And that's exactly what he did. After 430 years of bondage, God was bringing them on an epic journey. 430 years of oppression, 40 years of wandering lost in the Sinai Desert. God's people were about to enter the land of promise. You can imagine. How many of you remember when you was small, at the first sound of a Christmas song or jingle, or the first time you saw mom and dad watching a Christmas show on Hallmark, there was a countdown to Christmas. Huh? I remember I'd get sick, and mom would tell me, she'd say, hey, if you take this, I'd be resistant, wouldn't want to take the medicine, wouldn't want to do what she wanted me to do. And mom say, if you take this medicine, I'll let you open one of your Christmas presents early. She was sly as a fox, man. I'm telling you, she'd give me the smallest little thing, little bitty old Hot Wheel or something. The smallest, I'm anticipating this great big Christmas present. She's going to give me the best one right in the beginning. Mom come out with the smallest little thing. Yeah, you tricked me time and time again. But there was an anticipation that mounted up towards Christmas. How many of you, Brother David and Sister Lissy, just recently purchased a house, and I'm sure that her anticipation is mounting and building, and she's counting down the days to that closing, and where they're going to have their own home and their own place to live, and their children are going to have a place to call home, a place for them to pray, and a place for them to train their children up and raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. The countdown is on. There's an anticipation, and this is the way it was for the children of Israel. They had long anticipated God delivering them out of Egypt. 430 years of oppression. 40 years wandering lost in the Sinai desert. And finally they have come to the Jordan River. And the only thing that's standing between them and God's blessings is the River Jordan. Is the River Jordan. It was there at this river that the Lord gives Joshua a word. He tells Joshua, he says, send the priest out in the middle of the river with the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we know that the Ark of the Covenant represents the Spirit of God, the presence of God. Where the Ark of the the Ark of the Covenant was, the presence of the Lord was. Right? When the children of Israel had the Ark of the Covenant in the camp, the presence of the Lord was with them, and they would win the battles that they went out to fight. But when they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant, they didn't have the presence of the Lord with them, Brother Carl. They lost the battle when they went out to fight without the presence. Can I tell you today, into every battle, you need to take the presence of the Lord with you. Into every situation, into every circumstance, you need to take the presence of the Lord with you. It was here God gave Joshua a word, and he said, send the priest, send the ministry team out into the troubled water with the presence of the Lord. Send them preachers first, Joshua. Send them first. Can I tell you today, nobody should lead this church like our ministry team does. Can I tell you today, nobody should stand out above the ministry team in this church. Come on, if you ain't willing to lead, you don't need to be ministry in this church. If you ain't willing to go out first, the ministry team should be the first one behind the preacher. The ministry team should be the first one to worship God. The ministry team should be the first one to go to battle for the lost and lay their hands on the sick and watch them recover. If you're going to be a man or a woman of God, you need to be a man or a woman of God today. And if you don't want to be, then you don't need to be a part of the ministry of this church. The ministry, he said, send the ministry first out into the water. Nobody should lead like the ministry does. You ought to be the first one to get your praise on. I tell our ministry team, you ought to be the first ones worshiping God in this house. You need to set the example for the rest of the church. He said, send out the ministry team first. You ought to be the first ones to go. I can hear the people now. Listen to me. If you can't listen to the man of God in your life, you don't need to be a part of the ministry. I can hear the people now telling Joshua, Joshua, what are you doing? The river's swollen. The river is at flood stage. You see, at this time of the year, the Jordan River was at its greatest depth. It was raging. The river was at flood stage. I can hear the people now saying, Joshua, what are you doing here? The river is at flood stage. The river is swollen. The river is too swift to send the people out in right now. But I can hear Joshua saying, I know what God told me to do. I know what God told me to do. Come on, he said, send the preachers into the swollen waters. Now, let me tell you something. When Joshua did what God told him to do, and he sent the ministry team out into those waters first, the Lord responded to the obedience of that ministry team. I want you to know something right now. God dropped an invisible dam down in the midst of that river, and he held back the water, and the ground dried up, and the people of God walked across those waters on dry land in the midst of a flood stage river. Don't tell me God can't do it. You come too late to tell me that if we'll just listen to what God says, he will do it today. He will do it today. Hear me today. The people of God walked out of bondage into promise across dry ground through a flooded river. Somebody looked at me like I'm crazy. You're right, I am. I believe what the Bible says. If that makes me crazy, I'm crazy. I believe that God brought his people out of bondage into freedom in the midst of a flooded river. He dropped down an invisible dam and he held back the waters, all because of the obedience of his people today. All because of the obedience of his people. The Lord responded to the obedience of that ministry team, those priests, when Joshua told them to go. No doubt some of them didn't want to go. No doubt some of them had questions. But when they did it, the Lord responded to their obedience. Let me tell you something. The people of God walked through there just like the Bible says they did. And as they did it, the Lord tells Joshua, he says, hold on, Joshua. Hold on just a second, Joshua. Put the brakes on for just a second, Joshua. Just so nobody forgets what I did. Just so nobody forgets what I did here, Joshua. I want you to send a man from every tribe back out into the river where the priests are standing. And I want them to pick up the biggest rock that they can pick up. And I want them to put it up on their shoulder. And I want them to take it to the other side of the river. And I want them to stack it where they're going to lodge in Gilgal. So Joshua says, okay, Lord, that's exactly what we're going to do. And he sends out a man from every tribe. And they go out there and they pick up a stone, the biggest one that they can pick up. And they stack them on the side of the River Jordan in Gilgal. And then the Lord tells Joshua these words. He says, I want you to put them there for a memorial. Because in the years to come, Joshua, your children are going to pass by this way. They're going to see these stones stacked here. And they're going to say, Dad, what's those stones all about stacked over? And you're going to say, I'm so glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked me what those. You see, one time when we was coming out of bondage in Egypt, the Lord brought us to the River Jordan, and the Lord sent down a miraculous, and the Lord held back the waters, and we left bondage and came into freedom. And today you're free because of what God did for us. And this serves as a memorial that what God did for us, he can do for you. He can do for you. I know, Joshua said, we got to build a memorial. Joshua said, I know the river's at flood stage. I know the river's swollen. I know the river's too swift. But we got to build a memorial. We got to do what God told us to do. They walked across that river on dry land. They stacked those stones up for a sign. As in the years to come, not just their children, their grandchildren, we're going to ask, what's these stones all about? And he said, you're going to tell them these stones are for a memorial of what God did for his people. The Lord took away our taskmaster and he gave us a kinsman redeemer. The Lord brought us out of bondage and he set us free. My God, I come to tell somebody in this church today, you better put up some memorials in your life for your children to look at in the years to come. You better put up some memorials in your life for your grandchildren to look at and say, what's this memorial all about? And you say, that's what God did for me. That's where God brought me from. That's how great God is in my life. And I put up a memorial because I can't afford to forget what he did. I can't afford to forget what he did. Hallelujah. I came to tell somebody today, you better put up some memorials and you better not let anybody ever tear them down. Your children are counting on your memorials. They need to see what God has done for you in your life. What God has done for me, he'll do for you also. Clap your hands and give the Lord some praise if this is helping you today. Come on, when I see that heart on my desk, I give him praise. When I see that bell on my dresser, I give him praise. When I see that Bible on my desk, I give him praise. Come on, the other day I came over here and I just sat out front in my truck and I just looked at the signs for a good while and I gave him praise. Why? Because it's a reminder, it's a memorial of how good God is to us. We don't deserve this building. We can't afford this building, but God gave it to us anyway. We ought to clap our hands. We ought to give him praise. We ought to build some memorials that'll last a lifetime. We ought to let our children know. We ought to let our grandchildren know. There's nothing that God can't do for you. There's nothing that God can't do for you. Those signs on the front and the side of this building are a reminder of how good God is to us. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing. Nobody ever dreamed when we was in that little bitty old spot over there all crunched up. Those kids playing on the other side of that wall and I'm trying to preach, Sister Vic. People over there talking, being loud, getting water out of the water jug and I'm saying, my God, what are we going to do here? Nobody ever dreamed we'd be in this comfortable sanctuary with these padded chairs and this nice platform and that nice glass entryway and these signs on this building. Nobody ever dreamed where God would bring us to today, but he did it anyway. And I say we put up a memorial. I say we let our children know and our grandchildren know what God's done for you. Greater things shall ye do than what he's done for us. God's going to be greater to you than he's even been to us today. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, memorials matter. Memorials matter. They're a monument. They're reminders. They're memorials that with God nothing is impossible. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, tells us to remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. The word used here for landmark means a cord or a boundary. Don't remove the boundaries that our fathers have set in place for us. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. If it sends you to hell then, it'll send you to hell now. It don't matter what our culture says. It don't matter what our society says. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. If it was an abomination then, it's an abomination now. Remove not the ancient landmarks which were set there by your fathers. Don't remove the cord. Don't remove the boundary. God has put them in place for a reason. For a reason. Don't remove them. You don't understand how imperative they are. We need memorials. We need landmarks. We need these things. We need these monuments. Don't remove the landmarks. Don't remove the memorials. They're there for a reason. They remind us of what he's done and where he's brought us from. My God. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. You know, for years, I wondered why Joshua did something. Brother Doug, the Bible says that after Joshua commanded the representatives of each tribe to take a stone and to take it up out of the river and to build a monument in Gilgal. The Bible says that the Lord spoke to Joshua again. And this time, the Lord told Joshua to go back into the river. Listen, hear me out now. Hear this preacher today. This time the Lord spoke to Joshua, Brother Greg, and he says, now you've taken 12 stones out of the river, and you've built a monument up here in Gilgal for your children and your grandchildren to see. He said, but now I want you to take 12 stones, and I want you to go back down into the midst of the river where the feet of the priest are standing firm. And I want you to place 12 stones in the midst of the mighty Jordan. And for years, Brother Joe, I wondered, I said, Lord, why did you command him to take those stones back into the river when you just asked him to take 12 stones out of the river and to build a visible monument? Why would you have him create a monument at the bottom of the River Jordan? And the Lord spoke to me, Brother Peter, and he said, because the river won't always be raging. I don't know. The river won't always have abundance of water in it. There won't always be flow. There's going to come hard times. There's going to come a drought. There's going to come a time when the rain ain't falling, Sister Donda. Come on. And there's going to come a time when the water's going to decrease. And right there, in the midst of that river, you're going to look out in the midst of a drought. Right there in the middle of the River Jordan, there's going to be stones sticking up out of that water, and they're going to serve for a memorial that says, even in your toughest times, I was still there. Even in your toughest time, I told you to put a memorial to remind you, I will never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. It's a reminder in tough times, in the midst of a drought, in the midst of everything not going right, the Lord said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Come on. He went back and he placed those stones in that river. And the Bible says that they are there till this day to remind us when times get tough, when you're in the midst of a drought, when you feel like everything around you is crumbling, when you feel like you can't do it no more, when you feel like the river ain't flowing, right there, just open your eyes and look out in the midst of that river. There's a memorial standing there to remind you. Even in your valleys, God wants you to build a memorial. He says, he's brought me a mighty long way. He never left me. He never forsook me. I know where my help comes from. Just look out into the midst of the River Jordan and you'll see 12 stones standing there when the water gets low, when the water stops flowing, when the land is dry, when nothing's happening that you want to happen, when times get tough and you don't know what to do. Come on, there's a monument there to remind you where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord. And that monument tells you, lift your eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. My God, he made the heavens and the earth. I want my children. I want my grandchildren. I want my grandchildren. I want future generations of this church to say, I'm not going to remove the ancient landmarks. I'm not going to remove the memorials. I'm going to stand up on the same rock that my grandma, my grandpa stood upon. I'm going to stand upon the same rock that Pastor John stood upon. It's an ancient landmark. It's a truth that will last forever. And if I build my house upon it, I know it'll stand the test to come. Those memorials are there. Memorials matter today. Come on. I want our future generations to know that God has never failed us. But we got to put up some landmarks because we're going to be gone. We're going to be gone, and they got to see these landmarks, and they got to see, and they got to know, man, this is here to remind me that God will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. These are here to remind me how good God is and how good God has been to us and how good God will be to us. I wonder if there's anybody in this house today that would make up their mind, I'm not going to remove the ancient landmarks. In fact, I'm going to build some of my own. Yeah. I'm not just going to cherish the ones that are there for me to remind me of my Father's victories. I want to build my own, Brother Mike. I want to build my own landmarks. I want to build my own landmarks that remind me and remind my children and my grandchildren that God will never leave me and He'll never forsake me. As we sing this song unto the Lord, we're going to open these altars today. I'm going to give you a chance to get out of that seat, to come to the front of this church and to say, Lord, there's so much at stake. Help me not to remove these landmarks. Help me to put up memorials. Help me to remind myself, because I'm forgetful and I'm a sinful man and I'm a sinful woman and I'm just made of flesh and blood. And sometimes I forget, and sometimes I don't mean to forget, but sometimes I forget. Sometimes I don't cherish the things that I should cherish. I need landmarks in my life. I need memorials in my life. I need reminders in my life to let me know that God has been good to me. He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. Lift your hands towards heaven all over this.